Are you guys ready to get in the Word of God this morning? I hope you've come expecting, excited, and ready to dig into God's Word, because we've been doing this beautiful journey together through this New Testament. It's opened my eyes and my heart to a lot of things I hadn't seen before, and I hope and pray that it's done the same thing for you. Not ever before have I ever read through a New Testament with my church family, and I am so thankful to actually get to do this journey together, because we are learning together how to walk and to be what God has created us to be. If you'll stand for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to be in the book of James, going to start in the fourth chapter with a couple of verses and then jump over to the third chapter with one verse there. James 4, 7 and 8. James 4, 7 and 8. Excuse my voice this morning if it seems a little off, but I may get a little excited, okay? So that'll be all right. It says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then we're going to go over into James 3:13. One verse here that we would love to read. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Of wisdom. Remember that word this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity, for those that have gathered here in your house this morning, and for those that have gathered online as well. We are blessed to have this opportunity to celebrate your wonderful and good works that you are doing in our lives and among the people around us. Our heart's desire this morning, though, is that the Word would get into someone's heart and begin to stir them up in a way that they've never been stirred up before. And God, that if they need a relationship with you, that they would run to an altar of repentance to receive this wonderful gift of salvation. And our heart's desire also this morning is that if those that might be going through some hard times in their life, some patchy times or a storm, that you would speak peace to their storm, Lord Father, that we would be honest and open to what you have for us in our life. We understand the strict judgment upon our life of rightly dividing your word, and we accept that place this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I always love to start off with a question, okay? Just to kind of get you guys thinking just a little bit. Sometimes thinking will get you in trouble, but hopefully we'll kind of narrow this down just a little bit this morning and kind of hone in on what God wants to show you, okay? We pray that the inspired word of God will begin to touch your hearts and mold you in a way that you've never been touched before in your life. If you're struggling, that he'll shake your heart up a little bit, that you can just lay it over to God. If you've never been saved, our heart's desire in all ministries that you know here at Living Water Church, first and foremost, we want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing in life, is to have that. And if you don't have that, you've come to the right place this morning. Those that may be tuning in, you've tuned in to the right message this morning, because God ultimately wants to save you. He wants to save you. We're going to start it off like this morning, though, with a question. I need a volunteer, and the question I've got first before you volunteer is this. Who here this morning would consider themselves smart? Okay, not all at once, okay? Any show of hands? Any show of hands? Consider yourself smart, okay? Sarah, you can stay right there, but I'm going to show you this picture right here, okay? Right? Not too complicated, okay? What's 2 + 2? It is 4. Do you all agree with her? Would you say yes? Smart, that's smart. Yes, but it is 4. 2, 2, 4. Yes, 4. Okay, here's another next question for you. Okay, look at that top diagram. See the patterns there, and then look at the bottom. Match the one up that needs to go in the blank spot at the top, and you tell me which one that needs to go there after you go through and find the patterns. Okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you, there was a gentleman that got it right first service, so you better not miss this, okay? Okay, he got it right. This ain't a trick. It's not a trick at all. Boom. It's a question. You said you're smart. Let's answer it. Okay? Which one goes into that? What is it? You are correct. It is four. Four goes in that. It is the pattern that is there. Do you all agree? Four is the pattern that fits in there. That is, good job. Excellent job. So you're smart. We've got smart. Okay, let me ask this question. Who here this morning would consider yourself wise? Who here this morning would consider yourself wise? Not many raised their hand first service, so I just called someone out then. Let me go through. Let me get somebody in the back here. Y'all sitting in the back, all these Baptists in the front, we sitting in the back there. We're going to pick on you this. Let's see. Go through here. Everybody looking down. I love it. I love it. Everybody looking down, looking down. Okay. Joey, I'm going to ask you, okay? You're wise. You've got, you're wise, and we believe that. Okay, put up this. Okay, so if we're doing this right here, if you wanted to be a healthy individual, possibly live longer, this and it's not a trick at all, which one would you say, which one you'd say you'd probably have to eat? Would it be the left side or the right side? It'd be the left side. Would you all agree with Joey's analysis here? So yes, is that correct? Okay, you health gurus, you would say, yes, that is the correct answer. Okay, no tricking. We're not trying to trick. Smart, wise, okay? Okay, now I've got one more question. Husbands, okay? Your wife asked you to take out the trash, okay? You reply, you take it out yourself. Woo! You take it out yourself. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Is that smart or is that wise? Neither. That's stupid, okay? That's stupid. It's neither smart nor wise, okay? Neither one of those. Your reply should be this. Yes, dear, I'll get right on that. Okay, that is your reply. That is the smart, wise decision that you're making. So what I was trying to do is kind of set up this thought process this morning of understanding, okay, that there is a difference in being smart and being wise. Okay, so smart people, when we think about this, smart people is they have a lot of intellectual knowledge. Okay, they know a lot. You have a lot of intellectual knowledge. You have all of that knowledge. Okay, a wise person is someone that takes all of that knowledge of being smart and doing what? Making good decisions and choices in life. Would you guys agree with that? That probably is a pretty good assessment of being smart and being wise. A lot of knowledge. Okay, because I know a lot of smart people that don't have any common sense at all, okay? I know a lot of smart people, okay? And I've been known every once in a while not having common sense as well. But being wise is taking that knowledge, okay, and applying it to your life and situations. And it's not a trick, okay? So understanding things, it's not a trick. 2 + 2, 4, okay? The pattern, it was all there. It wasn't a trick. Boom, it was just fit right in there. Being wise, okay, making wise choices. Good food, bad food. We understand that. But the thing that we have to remember is there is a big difference. And there is a big difference when we actually talk about the Bible, okay? And James talks about this in the third chapter there about a certain wisdom being worldly and a certain wisdom of being a wisdom of the word, being from some not from heaven, some coming from above, okay? And we'll get into that in just a second. So there is a clear difference here. Now, we in society, we have a lot of opportunities to learn everywhere. Would you agree with that? Books, which most people don't even use anymore, but you would say the internet, getting on, you can find just information everywhere. We have a lot of opportunities to learn. But let me ask you if you think this assessment is right. So we have a lot of opportunities to learn, but ignorance is rampant. Would you agree with that? Yeah, I would have to say so. I would have to say so. A lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding, a lot of smarts out there, but we have a lot of ignorant people in society in today's time. Because listen to this, knowledge is exploding. Textbooks and encyclopedias are behind the times almost as soon as they come off the printing press. We can travel farther, higher, and faster than anyone before us. The computer age continues to advance at such a pace that technology becomes outdated with each passing month. However, amid this explosion of knowledge, wisdom seems to be non-existent. Wisdom seems to be non-existent. Up is down, left is right, right is wrong. Would you guys agree with that? Yes. And it's as simple as 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = not 5. 2 + 2 is not a problem that you look at and can't answer. It is 4. It is as easy as smart. Okay, it is 4. I apply 2, 2, and I get 4. As easy as that. But what we've got to understand is society is not teaching like this right here. Teaching, be smart, know everything, open-minded to everything. But actually, we're getting wisdom of the world instead of wisdom of the Word. And there's a big difference in that, having this wisdom of the world, which I think is very valuable. I love education. I think learn, be a lifelong learner. That was one thing that we was always taught when I was teaching at the high school level, is be a lifelong learner. Don't ever stop learning. You're going to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. Always be a learner. That is something very wise. But you can have so much knowledge and never apply it in your life. What good does that do you? You know what it does you? It causes a lot of problems and headache because we're not being wise about the things that are going on in our life. Too many people are living their lives without Jesus. Agree with that? Yes. Living their lives without Jesus. Here is a phrase that I want you to remember. Church, we've got to get back to the basics. We've got to get back to the basics of understanding Genesis to Revelation, understanding what God says in His Word, because they've tried over 2,000 years to take this word and mix it up and say it doesn't apply to this, and it's just an old book and it's irrelevant nowadays. Everything I need to know about the world and society is in Genesis to Revelation. God helps me understand about my parenting. He helps me understand about my marriage. He helps me understand about my Christian walk and what I need to do. Everything, we've got to get back to the basics. To the basics of what God's word has been opened up to us, inspired from above to come down and say, here, people of this earth, here's all the wisdom that you need. Read it, read it. Something that this 16 weeks that we're going through has taught me is how valuable it is for us, the church, the people that say that I'm a Christian, to get in His Word. How valuable that is to get into the Word. It shows us everything. How to be a good boyfriend or a girlfriend. What am I supposed to do before I get married, after I get married? All of it is right here. The knowledge is right here, but what we have failed to do and what society will not do is apply what God has given us in His Word. Church, we've got to get back to the basics of what God's Word is teaching us here. Getting back to the basics. Many people's lives are in shambles. Position, power, and prosperity have not brought peace and purpose. Okay, so many homes are disintegrating, so many hopes are smashed, and so many dreams are crushed. Why? Because we've become too smart for our own good. Church, we've got to get back to the basics. We are smart individuals in our own areas. Some of you computer techs, some of you being moms, some of you being dads. Some of you being doctors and nurses, we are smart in all of our own ways. But what does the Word of God tell us about all of these things? We've got to get back to the basics. Okay, when 16 weeks is up, we can't say, that's enough of reading God's Word. We made it in record time through the New Testament in 16 weeks. That's enough. Let's close her up. We've got everything we know. No, we've got to stay in God's Word. We've got to get back to the basics. Here's how simple it is. Back to the basics. What does it say in Genesis 1? In the beginning, what? Is that hard to understand? Because to me, that's not hard to understand, because it starts it off very simple, very plain. We've got to get back to the basics. To the basics of in the beginning, God. In the middle, God. In the end, God. In my marriage, God. In my relationship, God. Okay? In my addiction, God. In my temptation, God. In the beginning, God. We've got to get back to the basics of what God's word is teaching us. And here's what I love, is everybody that thinks that they get away with the hidden sin. We want to make a big deal out of the visual sin, but we want to ignore that hidden sin. We've got to get back to the basics, because the word of God will teach us about all sin. And what happens for those who want to just entangle themselves and live a life in such sin. But I'm glad that God's word allows us to open our eyes. We have become too smart for our own good. We've got to get back to the basics. Here's what James says about that, being too smart for your own good. 3:15, it says, such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and here's one, and demonic. That's what he said. That the type of knowledge that we gain in this life, a lot of times, that's where we end up. It doesn't come from heaven. We've got worldly knowledge, but we don't know how to apply it to God's word. And James here, and I love James. I love it. It's just like he just smacks him. Bam! Here you go. Here you go. Right in the face, just bam, smack them. I know everybody's laughing. You know what I'm seeing in my head right now. Just smack them with the word. Come on. That's what James was doing here. He's like, bam, there you go. And I'm sure he bumped up and he walked off the stage. Yeah. Here we go. That's what James was doing. He's saying, hey, people, bam. We got to get back to the basics. There's different types of wisdom that you think you have, and some doesn't come from above and from heaven, but some does. Okay, so what happens when we entangle ourselves with this wisdom that he's talking about here in 3:15? This wisdom of the world results in these things here: envy, selfishness, and disorder. Chaos. Does that sound like anything? Have you ever known someone, or has your life ever been in utter disarray, confusing, and thinking, wow? It's because we try to apply the wisdom of the world to our life instead of the wisdom of the word and what God wants us to reach into. So church, we've got to get back to the basics. To the basics of Genesis to Revelation. To the basics. What is it? It's in God's word. Getting back to the basics. Understanding what God wants us to see in this. Because many are in difficult times today because they've made decision based upon worldly wisdom. Come on, church. We've got to get back to the basics. The basics of understanding what Genesis through Revelation says. Well, where do I start? Where's a good place to start? We've already went through three of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a great place to start about understanding what kind of wisdom that we need to have here in this life. And looking at whose life? Not our own. Not the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but looking at Jesus's life that is right there in front of us. And we want to be more like Jesus. Get back to the basics. Jesus didn't try to trick anybody. We're not trying to trick anybody by a simple 2 + 2. It is 4. It is 4. But in our society today, boys can be women. Women can be boys. If you decide you want to be a cat or a dog one day, you can do that. That's messed up. That's wisdom of the world. That has nothing to do with the wisdom of the word, because Genesis to Revelation teaches me that God created male and female. It is easy to understand. It's not complicated. Now, it may hurt somebody's feelings, but I remember sitting in a church one day when God hurt my feelings. When he got all up in my Cheerios, and he told me that, hey, you are a sinner on your way to hell, but you better change, and I've got a way for you to change. That's what he did. It's not complicated. It all lines up with what the Word of God says if we'll just apply what God tells us to do. But this world is messed up because we've got worldly wisdom instead of wisdom of the Word. Okay, in the beginning, God. And at the end of the day, it's going to be God. It's going to be His way and what He says that we need to do. Wisdom of the world always leads to destruction. Always. Wisdom of the world always leads to destruction. Can anybody picture in their mind right now that they know someone that had all the wisdom in the world and their life's in shambles, or maybe they've even made such bad decisions that their life is gone, had it ended already? Personally, it touches us all. In some form or fashion, we know somebody, whether it's our kids or in our family, that has got messed up and thinking this world has something to offer. And it does nothing but it does nothing but leads to destruction. Destruction. But I've got good news for you. James goes on after he smacks him in the face. He smacks him with this right here too. He said, but in James 3:17 it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. When you apply the wisdom of the word, what does that result in? Wisdom of the word, what does that result in? It results in peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others. When Jesus entered my life, when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, I was in shambles. I was scared to death. I was afraid. My life was falling apart. I had already told people that I was on the boat with them and had been dunked in water, okay? I had already told people that. I had not only been a member of one church, but I can count them on my hand, 4 or 5 churches. And it did nothing for me. And then Jesus came by my way one day and said, let me give you some wisdom of the word, of how it applies. Because when he began to speak to my life and convict me when I was sitting in a seat much like some of you are here this morning, and I sat there and he began to tug at my heart. What did he begin to do? He began to speak peace to me. And after I surrendered to him, I had peace with God. I had peace with myself. And my enemies, I had peace with them. Because of what Jesus had done for me and what he was willing to offer. We've got to quit complicating this thing. Church, we have overcomplicated what we're trying to get from Genesis to Revelation. We make it too hard for even people to move in our churches anymore. We make it too hard for them to even get saved because, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. No, you've got to realize you're a sinner and come to Jesus. That's it. You're a sinner and come to Jesus. That's what we got. We've got to quit overcomplicating this thing. We've become too smart for our own good. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others. We've become so smart that we've complicated the simplest of things. Would you guys agree with that? Complicated the simplest of things. Let me list a few of them for you. We've complicated friendships. We've complicated parenting. We've complicated marriage. We've complicated the Bible. We've complicated our prayer life. We've complicated church. We've complicated salvation. We have become so smart that we have complicated some of the basic, simple things in life. Friendship. Parenting isn't that hard. Now, they'll make crazy decisions, yeah. But it says do what? Train them up, right? The Word of God says train them up. Train them up. That doesn't mean let them miss 4 or 5 Sundays in a row. That ain't training them up. It doesn't mean let them make excuse not to be involved in what God's church is doing here in Mount Starlight. That's no excuse at all. But it says train them up. Because when we train them up and then they go out there like the one that took all of his inheritance and left, then they'll have a place to what? Come back to. Come back to your father's house. We have been here the whole time. And many of us have had examples in our lives just like that. We have left God and God had opened his arms up. We've got to quit complicating this thing. Church, we've got to get back to the basics. To the basics that in the beginning, God. And that's enough said. In the beginning, God. God is going to do what? He's going to take care of my marriage. He's going to take care of my parenting skills. He's going to take care of my health, my job, my relationships. He's going to take care of what we surrender to him and say, God, here it is. But we've got to quit complicating these things. It's as simple as 2 + 2. And sometimes it even gets a little bit more difficult where you have to look and assess, see the pattern, and apply the answer. So sometimes it just isn't black and white. Sometimes you have to think about it, process it, use the intelligent, that intellectual knowledge that you have in your brain and say, what would Jesus really want me to do? When my kid's screaming and going nuts, what would Jesus really want me to do? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's like, spare the rod. No, spare the rod, spoil the child. What would Jesus really want me to do? And sometimes you have to process everything that we go through in life. It looks as easy as 2 + 2, and some decisions are as easy as that. But some decisions we have to intellectually think about and say, God, how do I apply this in my life? We got to get back to the basics. Genesis to Revelation. Can somebody tell me how many books of the Bible there is? 66, okay? 66 books of the Bible. If I told you, hey, get out your Bibles right now, we're going to do sword drills. How many of you all know what that is, okay? Know what that is? You'd be like, yeah, we used to do sword drills all the time. But getting back to the basics, it's as simple as this 16 weeks through the New Testament. It's reading the Word of God as a family together and processing how it says what we need to do in our life. And then look how simple it is. Look how God maps all of this stuff. Preacher, my marriage is a mess. Well, think about this. Are you loving your spouse like Christ loved the church? Let's get back to the basics. My marriage is a mess. Are you loving your spouse like Christ loved his bride, which is the church? Let's get back to the basic. Preacher, I can't stop my addiction. The Bible says this. Let's get back to the basics. Watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? So yes, you can, okay? I can't stop my... Yes, you can. The Spirit is willing here. That's what the Word of God tells me, that the Spirit is willing. Church, we've got to get back to the basics. It's as simple as Genesis to Revelation. We've got to get back to the basics of what God's Word is telling us. Getting back to the basics. Stop complicating everything. Marriage isn't as complicated as we think. Get back to the basics. Let me give you a plan of action if your marriage is struggling, and there's many marriages that are struggling. Start with praying over your spouse without them even knowing when they're asleep. Start with that. Don't be like, hey, honey, I prayed over you last night. No, just do it. Then start with, hey, honey, I think God wants us to get in the Word together. Can we just maybe read a devotion together every night or every morning before we go? And watch how about getting back to the basics begins to work in that marriage and begins to mold and make you not look at your spouse as I hate them, but look at your spouse as I love my bride. I love my spouse. I don't know who needs to hear this, but somebody does. I love my husband. I love my wife. We got to get back to the basics. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going to. I've heard this a million times. You don't know what I'm going to. Well, let's get back to the basics, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? So when you think that somebody doesn't know what you're going through, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us has fallen short. So we got to get back to the basics of what God, you want to talk about smart and wisdom, applying this knowledge that God has given us, applying it to our lives. We've got to get back to the basics. Come on, church, quit complicating it. Quit complicating it. It's as simple as that. The Word of God is the perfect place to find the answers for all situations in your life. It's as simple as this, and you all will remember this song. The B-I-B-L-E. Man, let's stop complicating this thing. It's as simple as the B-I-B-L-E. It's as simple as getting into the Word of God. We want wisdom of the world, or do we want wisdom of the Word? The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. And here's something that we've got to do better at. As Christians, we've got to quit complicating salvation. We've got to quit making it so complicated. Well, you do this, and then you can do this. You line up and you do this. You've got to change this, and you got. We're complicating it. Preacher, what's it do? What must I do to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus and he will save you. We got to get back to the basics. Stop complicating. What? Well, that's not good enough. How easy is the salvation that you're talking about, a relationship with Jesus Christ? How simple is it? Well, it says over here in Romans that for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, it didn't say might be saved. It said what? They will be saved. That's not complicated. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, call on the name of the Lord, and he didn't say he might save you. He will save you. Church, we've got to get back to the basics, to the basics. Well, that's just not proof enough. Because in Ephesians it says this, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Through faith. In John 3:16 it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, it didn't say would not perish, it says should not perish. So this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? Here's where it happens. Here's about getting back to the basics, okay? I'm smart. The Bible says that I should not perish. It says all I have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus, and he will save me. That's how easy salvation is. God pulling at your heart and tugging like he is right now. Like he is right now. Tugging at your heart saying, you have overcomplicated this thing. Get back to the basics. Back to the basics of what he wants us to do. Because in John 14, it says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have got to get back to the... Preacher, how do I get saved, though? How do I get saved? By getting back to the basics, because it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Church, we've got to quit overcomplicating this thing. The simplest of things, salvation is at your door. Jesus is knocking at your door. But I just don't know. I just don't know. Well, in Hebrews, you should have read this, because here's a really good example on what we really have to do. As people of God, here's what we really have to do. In Hebrews, it says this, by faith, Abel. It says, by faith, Enoch. It says, by faith, Noah. He says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. Come on, church, we've got to quit complicating this thing.
We've got to get back to the basics. It says, by faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. Come on, church. Come on now, by faith, Moses. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Come on, we've got to get back to the basics. Quit complicating this thing. Getting back, because by faith, Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. By faith, salvation by faith. Trusting, surrendering, calling on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. So, church, what we got to do? Back to the basics. Let's don't be that stupid husband that talks back to his wife. But let's get back to the basics. What do we have to do? By faith, we've got to surrender our jobs. By faith, we've got to surrender our marriage, our children, our addiction, our attitudes, our habits, our thoughts. By faith, we've got to surrender our life. Someone needs to surrender their life this morning. Stop complicating this thing. And during the invitation, church, we got to get back to the basics. Here's how it started for me. Some man of God, called by God, preached the word of God. The Spirit of God came moving through that church that day and shook the utter foundations of my soul. And by him shaking the utter foundations of my soul, by faith, I got up out of my seat, and by faith, I went to my knees praying and begging God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I don't have anything to offer you, Lord, but here I am. Please save me. And by faith, he saved me. Church, let's get back to the basics. Let's pray.